Imagine rebuilding a whole city. And it's crazy because when I was reading the reports of what got burned down, there's this street called Sunset Boulevard that got completely burnt.
Especially in LA, there's a total different house that was built. But I think they're going to see, once they figure out the codes and regulations, I think once we could paint that picture for them of showing them that you can still have more than enough.
Chris, they can't even go in and clean their properties off.
That's why.
Do you think they're even looking at rebuilding? Think about the infrastructure, the water, the electric, the plumbing, the sewer. They can't have septic tanks. How's that going to work?
That's what people need to wake up for in America is like, we need a leader that stands up for America and that has a voice for us and that says, hey, we're not going to get ripped off anymore.
Here's the thing. When you buy bulk pricing, when you buy global purchasing like Saddlebrook does, global means all over the world.
This just helps production out back, know exactly what your change orders are.
Welcome, welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebrook. Wow, is it awesome to be back on here. Guys, we are building dreams and transforming lives with what we're doing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And before we start, if this podcast or all of our previous podcasts have been an impact in your life, please consider sharing, liking, and dropping a comment as it helps the algorithm reach more people. But guys, what is going on? I am here with Kyler, our president of the company, Colton, the CEO, and our top home expert, Austin. How are you guys doing today?
I'm feeling good. That's it.
Another episode.
Heck yeah. How are you feeling?
Exciting news.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm excited because Austin doesn't get to hop on a lot of these.
He's always too busy.
Yeah, weird. He is. He's
time's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, he's helping customers. He's helping change lives. So it's nice to get Austin here because not only do we get to talk about the topics we have today, but we get to see what customers really want. What's the industry asking for? How does worldly events impact our industry, right, Austin?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And guys, I know we spoke about it last week, but just want to start off the topic. The thing that's been raving our nations, the California fires. One weekend, Colton, what have you been realizing? What changes have been made? Is California going to be rebuilt?
I think it's going to be rebuilt a lot faster than people think. We're going to have to see some regulations being cut fast. But even with now, instead of fire, there's rain. I just got off the phone with last night a contact in California that is about 35 to 40 minutes away from the fires and now mudslides. And he just said the severity of the problem got 10 times worse.
Wait, there's mudslides now?
Now there's mudslides and I think it's still raining today. I'm not quite sure. The problem got a lot bigger. And what he's saying now is the possibility of the homes that actually now are still standing are now at risk of being wiped away through mudslides. So now they're having to evacuate again.
Wow.
All the people that, actually have saved their house, now they're at possibility of risk at losing them again through a mudslide. And it's not like the end is not in sight right now. He told me that it's a lot worse than people think. And it's about to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better.
Wow. Because of the mudslides.
Correct. Because of all the rain.
Because of all the rain. All that dump of rain, is that what happened or what happened?
They did. Wow. But all of that landscape burned away. So there's really no topsoil or vegetation to stop the mudslides.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Wow. So I saw that Trump went and spoke to the mayor of L.A. Did you guys see that?
I did see that. Dude.
Yeah. I mean, did you see that, Austin, by chance? Yeah. Like, Austin, what do you think about that interaction that's like the mayor was telling Trump, we'll have it done in 7 days. And he himself said 7 days is too much. What are your thoughts on that?
I think when you look at Trump, you're like, he's not slow to make a move. And that's something that, as us being home experts and tiny home builders and what we do, when we give you a word that we're going to do something, we're going to do it in the next day or two, not a week, not 2 weeks. When Trump is wanting to take action out there, he means it with 100% full force.
Yeah.
And he's going to make a change.
I think what was most impacting to me, he said that people literally want to go to their homes and start, or whatever's left of their homes, and start picking up debris now. Why does it take a week? Does that make sense? How do you feel about that, Kyler?
I seen that interview when him and the, who was the lady that was
speaking? The mayor, yeah.
And she was like, we have all the, I guess the permit agencies all come to one so people can go with their permits and stuff. But I think I'm with the people and saying, hey, I want to clean up my lot before the government tries to come in here and help me clean it up. Because if you have everybody clean up their lot, you can get it done in a day. Like it's all ashes. So it's what is it going to take to clean up versus FEMA or somebody like that to come in and try to clean up one at a time. And then what's going to happen? My thinking is that FEMA, and they're going to hire all these contractors outside that they're going to pay triple, which we know of that because there's all these contracts that you can get, that you get paid an insane amount of money to go and clean up. So I think they should let people, like, don't have to worry about permits, just go clean up. But I Googled, and this is from fire.california.gov. Right now, 57,000 acres burned, 28 fatalities, and then 16,255 structures destroyed. As of this report that was done 3 hours ago, the fire was 95% contained as of Monday evening. 28 people lost. 28 people dead. So I think that there's, with that many, structures, 16,255 structures.
Yeah.
Where are those people going to go? That's going to take a long time to build. So I think what's going to happen is people do want to clean up their lots. But the interesting part is 75% didn't have insurance. What's going to happen there? So that's going to be interesting to see. Even if you can clean up your lot, is modular going to come home? Is modular going to come in there and replace those?
Yeah.
Is California going to let that happen? If so, what's going to keep, like, are we going to be able to build them a product like what we build? Or is there going to be a certain product that's like still restricted going there? That's my take.
Yeah.
It's a lot of homes.
But Colin, think about it. What's the difference between a stick-built home and a modular home? I mean, can LA become the first modular city? I mean, there is catastrophic damage to California. There really is.
I think what we're going to see in the rebuild process is there's going to be no wood materials used. It's all going to be metal frame structures. That's what we're looking at. If they rebuild, you know, due to all the fires that keep happening, they're going to go to all metal or aluminum structure. That's what I'm kind of thinking. That's what the people on the ground are hearing as well. So, you know, as far as a Saddlebrook product, we would have to, going back to Kyler's question, what would have to change in our product? We would have to go with, you know, a metal or a steel frame structure. And that's what I believe California is going to start rebuilding with.
Yeah.
Just because of the, you know, all of the fires, and, you know, they're probably going to start requiring fire sprinklers, all of the updated, there's going to be a lot more fire codes probably coming down the pipeline of rebuilding, just for the fact of how many got burned.
Yeah.
And they don't want that to happen again.
Did you guys see that story of one person that kept their sprinklers on?
I did.
And they were literally the only house on the block that survived. Wow. I wish I knew more about that, but why didn't that word get across? Like, why didn't people?
So, yeah. On that, what they did is they hired a contractor weeks before to bring in skid steers with rakes, raked everything around them, cleared a bunch of trees, cut a bunch of trees down, set up a sprinkler system on their roof with it connected to their pool, their swimming pool, with generators, gas generators, and solar panels with batteries, I believe, and had,
wow.
And it came too fast. All of the neighbors came there, saved the entire thing. And they were one of the only ones that, you know, that house got saved is what I have been told.
But then my question is, like, did they anticipate fires? Or fires have been happening in LA for so long. I mean,
I'm not sure. That's, yeah. I mean, I didn't read on it that far, but that was this morning. I was talking to a firefighter. That's he's our
He's one of our lieutenants though, in the fire department that me and Austin are on.
Okay, awesome.
And he was telling me about the story, and I was like, you know, I have a dumb question. What if your electric goes off and your sprinklers can't run? He was like, well, they thought about that in his gas generators, and they had a generator.
Right.
Everything was hooked up, so all they did is start the generator, and you know, it doesn't take that much water to sprinkle just a mist on their house, and I think they saved the whole structure.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And yeah, it is crazy. And going back to Kyler was saying, where are all those people going to go? I mean, we are seeing a huge housing shortage in all of the United States. But if you think about where it's happening the most, it's the major cities. New York, Boston, California, LA, San Francisco. You know, so it's so devastating that the most important commodity like housing has gone down in LA due to these fires. Not only for the rich or the middle class or lower class, it's affecting everyone equally. Yeah, like how can Saddlebrook go in and help? Like, what would have to change for Saddlebrook to come in and have the opportunity to make a lasting change in LA?
There would have to be some major restrictions cut. And I don't think just for Saddlebrook, I think any company. But I do feel in the next few weeks, we're going to be watching it very closely on what's going to be allowed for temporary housing, what's not. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing is watching what are they going to allow for temporary housing? Because you know, Chris, be realistic. You cannot wait 18 to 24 months on an apartment complex. That's how long it takes. Be realistic.
Yeah.
You cannot put an apartment complex up in a matter of days. It's not possible. But as far as temporary housing, what structures can somebody bring in a matter of days or weeks have people living inside of them? It's going to have to be something built off-site, either off-site modular or off-site manufactured. And, you know, the other question is, Chris, where's the land? Where will they be able to get the plumbing, the sewer, and the electric and the water to supply all of those houses in one, you know, one section?
So what you're saying is they have to go to a brand new piece of land and run all utilities, really?
Unless the utilities have been ran. So I mean, we're checking into all of that, but it's going to take some time. It's not just something that, you know, you flip a switch and it happens overnight. But it's going to happen fast, and we're prepared for that as well.
Yeah. So why wouldn't you just build modular as a permanent structure? Do you think LA would allow that, or do you think that would be a great fix?
That would be a good fix. There would have to be a lot of more structure on the regulations. You know, I agreed at some point, you can't just build whatever you want.
Yeah.
There has to be guidelines of what's, you know, what's to be built. Is it, you know, like I said earlier, is it metal structures? Is it steel? Is it aluminum? What are these structures built out of? What codes are they building them up to? That's a lot of that. But then also, you know, who can build them the fastest?
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be a shortage of plumbers, electricians, concrete work, dirt work. There's going to be the trades are going to be swamped for the next 4 to 10 years, I believe. And that's to say if nothing other catastrophic happens in the next 4 years, right? The Olympics are going to come. They're already having to rebuild a lot of the city just due to that before the fires. So a lot of all of that structure is having to be rebuilt. You know, I was talking to someone the other day. They're going to have to pull a lot of electricians and plumbers, more or less like Florida does for linemen.
Right.
If they want it fixed, they're going to have to get somebody to come in from other states and help them, versus just try to do the whole state did on their own.
And what a luxury if they had 4 years. But even the World Cup is in 2026. That's in 2 years.
Less than two years.
I mean, it's insane. There are apartment structures that don't even get complete in a year or two, depending on certain codes and restrictions in LA. Imagine rebuilding a whole city. And it's crazy because when I was reading the reports of what got burned down, there's this street called Sunset Boulevard that got completely burnt. And from my experience going to LA, that's like one of your major sections of Dallas getting burnt. Imagine the most important part of Dallas getting burnt. And I'm just thinking like, wow, not only the homes, but do you see modular in hotels? Do you see modular buildings? Do you see modular shopping complexes that could happen?
I do. I think we're, you know, I think if that happens that fast, then we're going to need an Elon speed.
Yeah.
But it's already happening, just not in that part of the world. North Carolina, we're seeing some of it. South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That we're seeing commercial start coming up. It's a lot different product. So your manufacturing process has to be totally different versus, you know, residential.
Absolutely.
But it's fine. You can set up a plant in less than, you know, a couple weeks to
right.
accommodate for, you know, for all of that. Just a matter of time. It's going to happen.
Of course.
That's my belief.
Yeah. No, I get it. And it's not only that. You want to live in something that you like, right?
Correct.
And that's why I kind of brought on Austin on here. And Austin is on the floor every single day. He sees what people like. He sees what people don't like. And Austin, from your experience, have you seen people who could have the ability to build on site go to modular?
Absolutely. It starts with just a small idea. And it's thinking outside of the box of what actually could be possible. Once you come in and you see how we're building these houses and everything, it's so much bigger than what you see online or if you see a TikTok video. Yeah. And like back to the California fires, I talked to an investor out there that's got unlimited access to money. But he's like, what can we bring in there? And I told him, I said, figure out the codes and regulations, and it's just a small idea away from making it happen. Because we can produce the homes, we just need to make sure that you can have the infrastructure and everything ready. And so I think, you know, going back to that, you know, our homes are very affordable, they're very efficient, and the idea of letting people know what we can do and how fast we can do it is unstoppable.
Yeah. You know, I had a customer walk in the other day and it was crazy. He built mobile homes for a living. That's what he told me. He's like, I'm very, very impressed with your process, but something I didn't tell you is that I'm an engineer. He said, and your homes are literally better quality than most of the homes I've lived in. And I think
that is crazy.
Yeah. And Kyler, we were speaking about this the other day. I think that's what happens when you build in a controlled environment. When you build a modular, your quality control is through the roof. Kyler, do you want to speak on that?
It is, because nothing can, it's exposed, and then you're building with processes in place for if this happens at this stage and this happens at this stage, and then you're inspecting every stage. If I'm building, let's say 100 duplexes or an apartment complex, there's no way to manage every step of it. You just got to get it done, and then it gets hidden by a sheetrock or a piece of trim, and then the quality is just not there, like a controlled environment. That's my take. Like, I think, like, I built a house. I built it on site, and if I went and I covered the walls, you'd be like, oh my goodness, like, this is, like, I had an outside contractor do it, but that's what you get when the outside, because you're trying to get it in the dry, you're trying to rush, it's raining. You're trying to get in the dry, and then the quality is not as there versus in a controlled environment. Yeah, that's my take on it.
And it's really like even the small things, like after you built your house, right, Kyler?
Yep.
I talk about like the little trim, the caulking, the painting, like all those little details that we don't miss here at Saddlebrook.
I think that's the problem, because every time I needed a little piece of trim, they had to go all the way back to Home Depot just to get that one piece of trim. And people don't realize that takes 2 hours.
Yeah,
to just go to Home Depot and get that one piece of trim. And what people don't calculate is that what that contractor's time's worth. And you just, yep, the homeowner paid for that. So that's what you get with controlled environment, is you get a better deal because it's a managed environment.
Absolutely.
That's what, I mean, you're going to save money with the managed. You're going to get better quality because there's actually a process to it versus, hey, call the contractor and say, hey, build my house. I don't know how you're going to build it, but just build it, right?
Yeah.
And just get it done. Make it look good. Well, the guts don't look good, but the outside looks good.
Yeah, I get it. And it was like, Austin, think about all these people that lost their homes in California, right? They've probably have experienced how long a home takes to build. And that's the biggest thing. If I lost my home, not only do I want my home back, but I want it to look nice.
I want it to feel comfortable. I want it to look elegant. What do you say to those people who want their home quick, but they don't trust how fast and how efficient we can build these homes?
Yeah, I think you know, that's especially in LA, there's a total different house that was built. But I think they're going to see once they figure out the codes and regulations, I think once we could paint that picture for them of showing them that you can still have more than enough with our homes or whatever homes it is or whatever structure is it's built off of, is there's a huge change nowadays. You thought you needed 4,000 square foot, but you can make it with 800.
Yeah.
And you're just right at home. And so showing those people that is still very affordable and it's very, you know, you still have more than you need is going to be one of the biggest things that's going to trend, I think, especially out there, is who's going to get out, who's going to be the face of the next project.
Right.
Who's going to be the face of that next series of building homes out there that's affordable, efficient, and fast, because they need to get back in their home. They're probably staying at a hotel or apartment.
Right.
And who knows how long they can stay in there before they start losing their heads.
Yeah, no, I understand. And, you know, by the way, it's so funny because we were talking about Trump and him going to California. What is one thing Trump said about these disasters? Hey, we will help California, but we will also help North Carolina.
Everybody's forgot about North Carolina.
I mean, including us. I mean, look, I mean, we're
all the people that lost.
We're already talking about California, but look at like North Carolina. They're still struggling to get gas. So talk about that, Cole.
They haven't even started rebuilding. I mean, I think now that the engineer corps of the military are starting to rebuild the roads. And, you know, I think I read an article somewhere that it's four months later and people still don't have electric at their homes.
Wow.
And so that's a big problem. Is North Carolina just as urgent as California? Absolutely. You can actually start rebuilding in North Carolina right now. California, it's going to be months before anybody gets in there.
Are you saying because of regulations or codes or wow?
Unless something happens to at the state level of regulation. I mean, Chris, they can't even go in and clean their properties off.
That's wild.
Do you think they're even looking at rebuilding? Think about the infrastructure, the water, the electric, the plumbing, the sewer. They can't have septic tanks. How's that going to work? You know, in California, there's a show called Selling Sunsets. You know what a septic tank costs in California? $75,000.
No frick. And what's the usual cost just for a
company? Here, $7,500.
Oh, I was scared. I thought he was about to say $7,500. Oh, $75,000.
No, not in here.
Yeah.
And so it's so crazy.
100 times.
It's 100x. Why? There's no telling. It's the same product, different market.
That's my take on it too. I think we're months away from California unless there's a regulation that you can go clean it up. But some people might not even want to go back and clean up, because if they had a house with no insurance,
perspective,
they're still paying a mortgage, and if that mortgage was $3,000 a month.
They can't afford anything else.
No, they can't afford to go get a skid steer.
Yeah.
To go clean it up. They can't.
Remember what we were speaking about last podcast? And to fill you in, Austin, we were kind of speaking about the huge rabbit hole that this creates. Because fine, you don't have insurance. Let's say the government does give you a loan. Well, people were locked in at a 2%, 3%. Now their mortgage is going to double and their home cost is going to double. So now you just go through this rabbit hole of problem per problem per problem per problem. Austin, do you personally think there will be a migration, a bigger migration of people from Cali to the southern states, let's say Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Texas?
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, you definitely could see that trend over the next year.
Yeah,
because of that. I mean, if they get themselves in the rabbit hole so deep that they can't get out of, you're still going to have to live somewhere. You're still going to have to go home at the end of the day. And so it's figuring out what can they afford,
right?
What, because they will still want the quality at the end of the day. And so I definitely think you're going to see that trend, and it's just going to determine whether, you know, they're going to have to start thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
It was just very comfortable for the last 4 years of where they were at. Because the market, like Kyler was saying, like, you know, 75,000 versus 7,500. You can tell the difference in the market of what you get paid, what you have to pay out. And so now I think that's going to trend back to, it's going to have to meet in the middle at some point from here to there, to where now they can actually live in an affordable house and be able to pay their mortgage.
Yep. And if I was making that huge move, biggest thing I would think, Austin, is like, where can I find land? Where can I find a home? I just know I have some family out there, but I don't really know how to make the transition. Being in a day-to-day, if there's somebody watching, if there's a viewer watching right now that does want to make that change, tell them the step-by-step process that you personally, Austin, can help them by finding land or mortgaging or a home, finding a home. What can you do for them?
First thing I'll always tell them is it ain't about what you know, it's who you know.
There you go.
You got to have the connections. That's one thing I've learned growing up is the more people you can meet and put in your phone and contacts, the more people you can get around, the more successful you're going to get. And so it's always, I tell people you need 8 keys to have that process. You know, you need a realtor, you need this, you need that. You've got to have your keys in place. You got to know those people, or otherwise you're probably going to get robbed by Peter. And I've seen that happen a lot of times is they'll think they know the right person, but what they don't know is that guy is making triple off of that customer versus if I help them. You got to know who you're dealing with. And, you know, the steps of purchasing land and all that.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. No, and I think that's really important, because if there is somebody that is looking to move to Texas or Arizona, just know we have your back. Austin has your back. Colton and Kyler, I have your back. And if you need help, we can definitely help with that. And it's so funny you mentioned paying triple or double or something like that, right? That money conversation had me thinking, can the government really fund this whole project, right? And Kyler's saying no, but here's a perspective I have, then I want your perspective on it, right? So Trump is proposing the ERS to eliminate the IRS. And
I heard this.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. The External Revenue Service. Have you not heard about it, Colin?
What's the difference, internal versus external?
Oh, that's a great question. Wait, do you really not know?
I have not.
Okay, awesome. So this is what Trump is proposing, and I'll get to my point why I bring this up. The IRS, right? There's a conversation that goes around, okay, so the government can't help our own people, but they know when you PayPal somebody $10,000. Like, where is our money going? And Trump is saying, I see an America where there's no tax for anybody. Okay, so here's why, though. Because we are misplacing our money so poorly. We are mismanaging our money so poorly, and we're getting ripped off on everything. So even the World Health Organization, we paid, what, $339 million, I think, around $580 million. To be in it a year. China only pays $39 million. He's like, well, I think that's unfair. So he left that organization. That organization came back to him and said, you guys could join for $39 million. Well, China has 1.3 billion people. We only have 350. I think I should get a discount. And he redrew from that, right? So that's just like this, in a snap of a finger with a signature. I know it's very controversial. I'm not trying to get political, but with a snap of a finger, he was able to save $580 million a year for the United States.
You know what that's called?
What is that called?
The art of the deal.
The art of the deal. Exactly. And Trump is really good at it. Not only that, instead, he saved money for America. And then next thing he does is he goes to Saudi Arabia prince and has them invest $600 million into the
billion.
$600 billion into the United States, right? So he took a minus 580 and turned it into a plus $680 million. The point I'm trying to get with this is, if America is misusing their money so much, okay, and he's trying to eliminate taxes because we can get all that money back from imports, export tariffs, this and that, why can't the government fund the whole project and get it done, Kyler?
It's because we're funding everybody else.
That's why there's controversy. I don't want to make this political, but just because you were mentioning $200 million there, and I believe we were paying Canada $200 billion for what? Because they're neighboring states, but you know, and that's the reason we need to be make that United States. But that's another topic. That's a big so we can get into that.
What state would that be? What number state?
I don't know,
51, and then Greenland would be.
Well, we're spending $200 billion. We're spending $200 billion.
They'll need housing too.
$200 billion.
Jeez.
For eggs, for milk, for cars, and all these things, products that we can make over here, and so that's the reason we can't protect our own people, because we're giving our money away. It's yeah. Because you haven't had any leadership, and that's what people need to wake up for in America. Is like, we need a leader that stands up for America, and that has a voice for us, and that says, hey, we're not going to get ripped off anymore. Hey, if it means that we don't need to get taxed, then tax the outside.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Tax everybody else.
Exactly. If you tax everybody else, wouldn't you want to see results in America?
We need to take care of the people in California and North Carolina. Absolutely. Exactly.
So we need to see results.
Not in those states. There's other states that need. We have homeless that don't get helped.
Veterans.
Exactly.
Yes. Mr. Trump, I hope you see this podcast.
Yeah.
We can help you.
Yeah, that is true.
We make sure I want to put that in the like a clip or something so they can see it.
I want to say one thing before we jump off. When you mentioned rebuilding in California, there is going to be code restrictions of like size and square footage.
Yeah.
If I don't think Austin, when you say 800 square foot, there's not people going to go from a 3,000 square foot down to an 800 square foot.
Yeah.
But Chris, here's one thing that I can mention. You go down the rabbit hole of insurance, their mortgage is 1.2, their payments was this, but at 2.99% interest. But if there's a product out there that we can come up with or help create, that instead of a $2 million home, we can build it for, you know, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000.
And the same structure.
In the same structure, their mortgage would stay the same. They're not going to have to spend more. They'll be able to appraise for a lot more as well, because everything in California is very, very expensive. But
a shack is a shack.
But here's the thing. When you buy bulk pricing, when you buy global purchasing like Saddlebrook does, global means all over the world. We're not just limited to here. Global purchasing means we can still buy prices. And then when energy prices come down, which drill baby drill, what that means is our
transportation. Political.
He's getting political.
Our transportation on anything that we export or import. Anything that our materials get delivered on. We are not paying full price on anything anymore. We are going to go down to pre-COVID prices. What is that going to do? That's going to have your home in California go from $4 million down to half.
Doesn't Apple do that with the iPhone still?
Absolutely.
They outsource everything.
They outsource everything. But that's where the solution comes, Kyler and Chris and Austin, is you can build a product 3,000, 4,000 square foot and not have $4, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million, because California will also put a square footage restriction. They don't want 800 square foot homes in a Beverly Hills. They're not going to do that. But what they're going to allow is they're going to have certain restrictions and certain codes that you can build up to. That's where the product has to be created for how can you serve that market and come below what their mortgage needs to be. That's the problem that you need to solve. Number one.
Outsourcing.
Outsourcing. Having everything brought in from everywhere. If your materials come from Michigan, bring them in from Michigan. You're not having inflation of California because there's no OSB there. There's no materials there in California. We know that. Bring everything in from all other states and all other countries. And from the ports, right? You don't have to just buy from California, but there's a local contractor, they're not going to go to Michigan and buy material. They're not going to go to Alabama. They can't. That's why there has to be a bigger idea in place, a bigger purchaser, and a bigger market that gets created and builds products off-site modular that comes in, still can build at affordable price that we in Texas are building at. Why do you have to pay California prices? Because of electricians, plumbers, your septics are insane.
Salaries.
You know, your gas prices are probably double. The housing costs double. Your rent is double. If you bring people in from the outside in and help California, you'll see the prices get demolished. They'll go down to half on building. And it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The prices and then back to energy, everything will come down at a certain time. It'll be slow. You know, you don't want a 50% decline overnight, but it'll slowly start coming down, and the rest of the world will start supporting, absolutely, like places like North Carolina, places like California, and you're going to have to shift and build a product that that are up to codes, up to the regulations, up to the square footage they want, but that they can also afford on a monthly mortgage.
Absolutely. And Colin, now let me ask you a question. Last question before we end the podcast. We just spent a whole podcast talking about how much we want California to be rebuilt. But we also know, as awesome as that sounds, and it really does sound amazing, and they should do that. So if we could clip that and put that in a clip and try to make that reach more people, that would be amazing. Outsourcing is something I didn't think about. But you know, Colton, there is always an adversary. So what do you think? Who are the companies? Who are the people that don't want to make this happen? These globalists, the deep state, not trying to get political again, but you said drill, baby, drill, and it got me into
mood. Drill, baby, drill.
Think about the adversary that doesn't want to get this done because they want to take that land. People forget what happened in Hawaii. Did you not know that Hawaii got burned like a couple years ago? Those people never and will never get their land back.
Correct.
I don't want this to, because we don't have much time, but I don't want this to get political or sound like a conspiracy theorist. We are literally over here talking about how we can make California better, but there's an adversary working just as hard to steal that land, to take that land.
There's actually a video, and I'll send it to the production team, of Governor Newsom. Newsom. And he was talking, hopefully we can play it here on the podcast so they can see it. It's like a minute and a half clip. And he talked about the land and him, the government taking the land. So I hope we can play it in there so the audience can see that video. It was actually on Joe Rogan is the one was talking about it. And I think they already have a plan about it. I think the government already knows. 75% of the people don't have insurance. There's 16,000, over 16,000 families. That's the wake-up call. Over 16,000 families that don't have a house anymore. They're going to have to go rent somewhere.
Absolutely.
So I don't even think that there's a rebuilding phase right now. I think there is a demand for renters. They gotta go sleep somewhere. So I think that's the number one thing is they're gonna move out and go live with family because they still got a mortgage. It ain't like the mortgage is calling saying, hey, you don't have to pay your mortgage this month. Nah.
They're not gonna lose.
They're calling. They're calling big time right now. 16,000 people.
Hey, I have to end the podcast, but I'll end with this. That is such a scary perspective because it's true. That's why it's so scary. But just any words for the people in California, Colton?
I think it's a fight between good and evil. It really is. And we have to pray every day, night and day, that good overcomes evil. At the end of the day, we know that it will. But that is the fight today. It is literally good versus evil. You are 100% correct. There are people with motives that are far greater than the eye can even think, that we can even see right now. And we just have to pray as a nation together that the good outweighs the evil right now, because yes, they do have plans that there is a battle between good and evil, and that is the state. So that's what in the podcast with, not to be on a dire note or anything like that. I don't want to be negative, but that is what we're fighting in. It's good versus evil. And that's what the nation has to come together and pray. And also have to, you know, the voices in America right now have to outweigh the evil.
100%.
And it's podcasts like this. It's people like Joe Rogan. It's people like Dan Bongino. It's people like Tucker Carlson, PBD Podcast. All of those people are bringing light to the evil, and it's exposing them right underneath their feet. And that's what, you know, the good overcomes the evil. So I hope people like that will keep putting, shining a light on a place like California, because that's what we're fighting against. It's not fighting against a person like Gavin Newsom. It's fighting against good versus evil. That's what we're fighting against. It's not that the homes are burned. We're not fighting against the mortgage companies. We're not fighting against the insurance companies. We're fighting against good and evil. And that's my last call is, us together as a nation, we have to pray, we have to help each other, and we have to come together and create a better environment for everybody.
Amazing. Thank you, Kyler. Thank you, Colton. Thank you, Austin, so much for joining. this podcast. Colin, that was an insane perspective that you gave at the end. Guys, when you talk about topics like this, you put a target on your back, but per Kyler, per Colton, per Austin, per myself, we are joining the fight for California, for North Carolina, for any, basically, we're on the good side, and we will fight evil for as long as we can, and we will win. That's it, guys. Absolutely. Listen, if this podcast was of any importance to you, if you got anything out of this podcast, please consider dropping a like, share the video with someone that has been impacted with housing shortage, natural disaster, bankruptcy, anything. Listen, we like to say here at Saddlebrook, we give people the opportunity to dream again. So if you like this podcast, please share it, like it, comment. It helps the algorithm. This was the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebrook, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you, guys.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.